Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all know Bob, Robert Saget, is all we ever do is listen to New Country, him and I.
That's the only way to go, right?
He's just a big old country fan. We just sit around and talk about things like that. Lord knows he's got a whole garage full of monster trucks, handguns, and he just loves shooting and hunting.
Mm-hmm. Nobody chews tobacco like Saget.
Oh,
nobody.
It's a dirty, dirty secret because it's not acceptable, but oh, does he like a good plug of Red Man. Yeah, I think this is going to be great just watching him maneuver his way through the world because he's going to be a great host. He's a brilliant guy. Everything about him is great. Oh, dear God, do not let T talk to him, Jake. What are you doing?
I'm just going to let him put it on hold, and then I'll go talk to him.
Christ almighty, I saw the hotline ring just then, and T goes running in there to talk to Bob Saget. Don't let him talk to Bob.
Damn, they're galloping.
Bob doesn't
deserve that.
You can always tell when he's running because the whole room shakes. We're in concrete. Does it not?
It did. It went boom.
Yeah. Maybe you flat foot. You really have a heavy step, my friend.
I'm trying to step quietly.
Well, not working.
Yeah.
Born May 17th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Although America first met him through such wholesome family fare as Full House and America's Funniest Home Videos, we grew to love him for his dark and twisted brand of stand-up comedy, and over the years, he's become a true friend. You can see him on the upcoming final season of the Netflix series, Fuller House. And now you can see him every week as host of the new CMT game show, Nashville Squares. Please welcome, longtime friend of the show, Bob Saget.
I was just sharing with everyone how you love a good plug of tobacco, riding four-wheelers at your country estate, listening to that country music, and shooting animals intermittently.
That's what I do. I kill a rat from 20 paces, and I could spit tobacco into your grandma's mouth. I don't even have to have tobacco. I'll just spit in your grandma's mouth. Sometimes I put lighter fluid in there. She don't know what happened because she's smoking a cigar.
This is going to be great. I'm excited about it.
It's hilarious. I mean, it's one of those unexpected things that I just said yes to. And then pretty soon after the video show, Videos After Dark will premiere on ABC. So, and then I'll just keep doing stuff. But it's just wild that this, it's called Nashville Squares, right? So
yeah.
It's on Friday nights, and it's basically Hollywood Squares drunk.
Yeah, sure. And speaking,
got booze. Not everybody. Some people are smart. They went to rehab. They never drank ever. Like yourself, you're not a drinker, right?
Oh no, you and I decided years ago to do nothing but read the Bible and have water and just chat about how to make ourselves more in the moment.
That's what we do.
Yep.
We just liquidate.
By the way, have you met Tanya Tucker yet?
Yeah, we did the show.
I rode motorcycles.
We did just a couple months ago, and it took a long time to edit them. In fact, there's a bunch of deleted scenes on the internet, on the website. I guess it's CMT Squares CMT Hollywood Squares on Twitter and stuff, but you can go on Instagram or whatever, but same thing, I think.
I
can't remember what the handles are.
Listen, Tanya,
I know how to get hold of a trucker on a CB, but CB is before CD, by the way, and A-track, so... But it's just Tanya Tucker was on every episode. Not everyone. We had Marie Osmond as a center square, and then all of a sudden one day she turned into Tanya Tucker. I couldn't believe it.
That's a different human being altogether. Tanya came in town.
It was magic. It was like some Disney movie. But it's just a lot of fun, and it's on. CMT doesn't have many shows, so we were like one of their newest. They don't have any. They have two original programming things of their own, and then they said, let's do this. And the producers make the show Hip Hop Squares, which is on VH1.
Which is the one you really wanted.
That is actually, no, I wanted both. We're talking about, D-Ray hosts that, we're talking about a combo show where...
Oh, you'd be so good.
It's like the Beverly Hillbillies visiting, you know, yes. Green Acres.
Oh. But, dude, this would be so great for you. I was going to tell you, so Tanya Tucker comes to town as part of Bikers for Babies, the March of Dimes big motorcycle run that we, you know, did for 20 plus years. And she rides motorcycles. She is on fire. I was like,
she is badass.
Yes.
So is her daughter. Her daughter's on the show with her, and she's just, you know, Presley. And
yeah.
She's amazing. She is, and Tanya sang, and at one point she was asleep because she was laying sideways in the center square.
Yep.
Too much or whatever she was drinking there.
Yep. You know the stories about...
She doesn't drink, but you don't need to.
Let me tell you about Gary Busey. Gary Busey, last time he was on, Bob, he said, I can't understand you, Johnny. Your words sound like a bad sandwich.
Well, that makes sense for your ears.
Here's
an ear metaphor. I don't know if you know this, but he eats through his ears.
Yes, he is just...
Yeah, and wow. He's very hungry because he's a little deaf, so... But he's a really good guy. I've
sure.
known him a long time, and he chose to use part of his impediment as his comedy foil, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, him not riding with it, him riding with no helmet is what caused some of the problems he's been through.
Yeah.
He's a good guy, you know? He's a real character. But so many cool people are on the show that are, like, I like and know, and it's just hilarious. I never wanted to host Hollywood Squares. I was offered before Tom Bergeron, and they just told me, you know, I couldn't screw around too much. I couldn't do much, and I didn't want to do a game show where I was doing the video show already or had done it. But it was before it and during it and after it, and when that show was my 8-year term on there. And then, but this thing is just kind of just, the wheels have come off the bus, you know?
Yeah. Because that's what I love about this show. If you just want to show the great Bob Saget's here now, Nashville Squares, Friday, 7 o'clock CMT. The idea, because, you know, like everybody knows, you're just a down-home guy living in Alabama, riding around on four-wheelers. You love bonfires and moonshine and hunting and all kinds of stuff like that. It's so
well, there's not, some of the people that a lot of your country stars don't love the hunting as much as you would think.
Yeah,
especially some of the ladies, they're not crazy about it. You know, we had Mickey Guyton's a relatively newish country star, and she's pretty charming. And she, they had a thing where you put your hand in and have to tell them what it is.
Oh, that old game.
Well, I was holding the box right in front of my lap, so she didn't. But it was, yeah, that old game. But it wasn't a critter. I mean, there are people that don't want to hurt no critter. You know?
Not me either. You know me. I'm not that guy. But the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders are there.
Yeah, Dallas Cowboy cheerleader all-stars. It's that's the other show that they have on CMT, is that show with them starring in it. And they're smart, too, because the crew started to talk to them. As the crew moves 1 foot toward them, they're already on the bus. You know? They know how to take care of their cheerleaders.
Right.
And they're
right.
And you know, it's a little old school, but it's not like Gold Diggers on Dean Martin show. That's the millennials, I'm sure, are perking up right now. I don't even think I know what Gold Diggers are. But
a Kanye? Yeah, they're like Kanye?
What was it, Daddy?
Yeah, like Kanye? Kanye? What?
Right?
Yeah.
But she'll take your money. I think that, well, it's me too. Can't say nothing no more. But but I get to say stuff on the show. But the shows go by too quick because there was so much stuff, they have to cut stuff out. That's what I was starting to say. And then I'm going, well, guys, make it an hour. You know. But what they're doing is they want to make a hit. So they're doing 2 half hours, and you're central, so it's 7 o'clock, And then at 7:30 it's another episode. So they run 2 different episodes, and they'll run it for, we did, I guess it's 5 weeks total. They'll be running them, and then see how it does. And that's the fun part.
Yeah, what about After Dark?
Videos After Dark, they kept calling the air date winter-spring, which is kind of what I think Game of Thrones, they said that a lot. It's in the winter spring. And that'll be coming on ABC. And that'll be either probably 10 o'clock, maybe a 9 o'clock show. We don't have the spot yet. But they've been waiting to give it the right promotion and everything and the right push. And I'll be doing a lot of press.
Good.
So I'll be bugging you early in the morning because I love getting up around 4 o'clock, you know, shoot a couple crawdads off the fence. Sometimes my long johns will be hanging out on the line, and there'll be a rat in them, and I'll smack that with a bat. you know, you got to smack a rat with a bat. And I've had a rat problem actually because we had the fires out here. You get natural disasters. Do you get tornadoes there?
Sure, of course. It's Tornado Alley.
Right. What do you do when that happens?
Hide in the basement.
The yard with a flamethrower?
Yeah. I ran over to my girlfriend's house and got in the basement with her and the dogs and cowered like little children. That thing, the last big one, honestly, Bob, that came through this year, it missed us. It came right to her place and then veered to the north, but it 2 or 3 miles away, it just missed my friend's house and took out an entire block of homes.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it's scary, man, that stuff. It's
how long does it take for them to pass through?
This was a slow one. This one moved 35 miles over the course of like an hour, and it was, 3 miles wide?
Something.
It was insane. This was normally they'll move pretty quick through, but this one just sat down on top of it like a hurricane, and it was bad.
Well, we had, as you know, we don't have tornadoes, but California their people are saying, I'm moving. You know, I'm tired of this.
Sure.
I got evacuated. I had a prime rib. I evacuated that, and then I had to leave the house. And it was the long bone. Those long bones will kill you.
I didn't realize you got evacuated, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, I like bones.
Yes.
So, good dog, Carl. But what happened with this thing, I was in the zone, right, in the zone. So, and I came home. I couldn't come back home for 10 days, really. We were kicked out for about a week, but I was able to come back, but it was still the unlivable because, you know, down up the street, there's ash everywhere. Like a volcano went off, like Pompeii.
That's sad.
I'm sure many people are familiar with it that are listening. Pompeii is when you're a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader and you pay someone for their pom-pom.
Yes.
Pompeii.
I'm such a good friend. I didn't know that you were actually out of your house. I feel quite bad about that. I didn't realize you were even, you know, that you were out of your house and evacuated.
And it was on our anniversary, not yours or mine, but my wife and mine. It lasted a year, the anniversary. We've been married 1 year, which is...
Congratulations.
You know, it's hummingbird years. And that's... For L.A., that's a long time.
Sure.
To be together that long. And so we spent it in a hotel, but you can still smell it everywhere. The long bone.
Oh, I thought you meant the anniversary.
Yeah, no, you can't smell that. But the problem was rats. And we came home, one... had done a triple Lindy off the hill right into the pool.
Right.
Yeah, they were doing the triple Lindy.
Rodney. Good old Rodney.
Oh, I love Rodney. I miss Rodney.
Dude, those natural disasters will shove stuff out. We had a flood here, and I walked down to the river by the Kansas River, and I wanted to see what it looked like. And I walked in this park, and I go, and I could see the grass moving. I'm with Big Eric, who, by the way, is terrified of these things. And I realize there's about 40 snakes moving towards us out of the field.
Yeah, you don't want to go in that river.
Oh, I floated out of that place. Are you kidding me? And this was on the dry land. So they were being pushed out of their habitat, and they kind of got narrowed into this little valley. And I was like, what is moving on the ground? And I realized there are literally maybe 30 or 40 snakes moving toward us. As an adult, I have not run that fast in a very long time.
We had a flash flood here up at the mountain right after, up near where I live,
mm-hmm.
And there were agents in the just coming down the road in the flash flood, just agents.
Jesus Christ! I just got there. God damn it! Because you hooked me, and I'm like, what? Hold on, what?
Yeah, they're worse than snakes. They're lizards. But it was just there was a flash flood. It was like an act of God during this fire. Once they got it, they went up and down different streets that were in trouble, and it was so amazing how the firefighters worked. You're firefighters, you just want you love them.
Sure.
You're so thankful, and the police.
Yeah.
thank them so much. It's just unbelievable. They save the street. They spray that pink stuff.
Oh, yeah,
so
the
phone. Your house looks like Barbie's Funhouse when you're done. You come home and you got a wedding cake in front of your yard. And then that's stuff that keeps the fire from spreading. But then they come back with those scooper planes that go to the ocean, scoop up the stuff, and then dump it on the pink stuff, so that runs even more like a 16-year-old bad birthday party. And it's just pink goo everywhere, which, you know, if I'm feeling really frisky, that's what I make. And if my wife gets me going, because it's the anniversary, you know. That's how I talk now, by the way. I just want you to know, since I'm doing Nashville Squares on CMT, there's a thing online, you got to find it. I sang the theme song, and I went to Nashville to shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Nashville Squares on CMT. And I hold the last note for, like, longer than the ad. It's E. Then you hear them saying, Nashville Squares, 8 o'clock, 7 Central.
Oh.
On CMT, don't miss it. And they keep talking, you know, it'll be on for a while, enjoy it. And I'm just going, but I was wearing a nudie suit. They made.
I love those.
Now, people, when they said to me, we're going to make you a nudie suit, I said, no, I'm not doing that, you know, because I thought long johns kind of thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
or makes you look naked, but you got no parts. And that wasn't what it is at all. You know what it is. It's those suits.
Old Hank Williams.
Those amazing suits, and they made me one.
That's killer.
And by a guy named Manuel, who's 85 years old.
He's the most famous nudie suit guy in Nashville.
In Nashville,
yep.
And pretty much in the world.
Because
where else are you going to get a nudie suit? And the guy named Nudie was his boss. That's what I found out. So I thought Saget was a rough name, but Nudie's pretty bad. Or good. I mean, they're popular, but he's got pictures of him with Johnny Cash and with Roy Orbison and John Lennon and just everybody, literally everybody that ever did anything country or near it in music. He made these suits for him, and I got one, and I didn't wear the hat for long. I think I just wore it for when I said, howdy, y'all.
You need to learn some down south phrases, though.
Like, go ahead. Sorry,
I was born in Memphis. You need to get in the. I'll send you a list of things growing up I would hear. Like, that boy doesn't know whether to scratch or watch or wind his butt.
Oh, I like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. One oar in the water, and remember, you can say anything to anybody in the South as long as you bless their heart.
Oh, you bless their heart. That's right.
Yep.
You can say anything.
Anything.
Right.
Yeah.
I wrote a country song once that never made it. It sounds like it's been done as a joke before, but it's called I'm Never Over Her Because She's Never Under Me. And these are jokes that your dad would tell that finally applied to my life. No, that's good for the show, Bob. Do that. I did do an original song on there because I have a publishing company because I write comedy songs, as you know, and I'm working on a lot of new material for a new special, but my and so I wrote a song called Corn's My Meat. It's a vegan song. And it's really good, you know. It's
Corn's it's, My you know, Meat.
Corn's My Meat. It's 45 seconds long, and in stand-up I can do it in a minute and 15 seconds. It's, you know, sitting there to think about dogs and trucks, goats and chickens and pigs and ducks, some on a farm and some you want to eat, but I'm a vegan because corn's my meat. Corn's my meat. Corn's my meat. Maybe kernels and diblets, that's my tricky. Corn's my meat. And people really like it. In fact, you know, and I own it. Yeah, and so they had to pay me. I was pretty excited about it.
Oh, it's great.
No, I'm, you know, I made, I think, $12. I was pretty happy because that song don't go for much.
Was it My Truck Goes Zero to DUI and Just One Heartbreak?
Oh, God, I want that line.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because you talked about your country song. I heard there was another one that was similar. It was, I Can't Get Over You Till You Get Out From Under Him.
Oh, that's the same as mine.
Yeah.
So there it is.
Well, these are common themes down south.
I like yours better.
Uh-uh. No, listen.
You got anything about Flamethrower?
You know what? I have a new flamethrower.
Where'd you get it?
There's a guy locally I'm getting ready to pick up. A guy has actually started manufacturing here in Kansas City. In fact, I was going to give Jake his name so we could book him on the show. Would you like one? I know not out in California, probably. They probably wouldn't enjoy it out there in your neighborhood.
No, probably not.
No.
You do what you can.
We flood here, so they're cool with flamethrowers. We flood all summer long. We've been, it's been nonstop flooding in all through the area.
It so. Is so upsetting, and not as upsetting as other places, as you know. That you know, New Orleans gets it really bad, no matter what. But we had our flash flood was 10 minutes long. That's it, because fires were everywhere. I mean, it looked like hell. You walked out.
Sure.
And it was 300 feet in the air, fire, but in every direction. And you couldn't breathe. It was that plastic smell.
Ugh.
It was bad. And about 11 homes were lost, which was, we were lucky. I mean, it could have been hundreds of them. And the flash flood took my trash can that was sitting in front of the house, 3/4 mile down the street, and I thought somebody stole my trash can. I was looking around. Because I didn't know about the flash flood until afterward.
That's...
And then I'm coming home after I got back to the house, and I see that my trash can, my home address is spray painted on the trash can. I'm driving home, and 3/4 mile before my house is the trash can. And I went, oh, my God, nobody stole it. The flood took it. And I just said, in the past, I have literally had to go when there's been flooding, which we also get. 3/4 mile, I would walk trash cans back up to my house, but I just couldn't take it anymore. So I took my car, took the trash can, put it next to the car, put my arm out the window. True story.
There you go.
I drove the trash can like I was walking a dog all the way up the street.
That.
And it never hit the car, and I can't believe I did it, and I didn't hurt my arm.
Welcome to Nashville. Now you're learning things.
Right. And the only problem would have been if another car had been approaching, because they would have seen a crazy person with a trash can. Taking my trash can for a walk, sir.
Sure, sure.
That's how I'd take my wife on her rollerblades. we just hold hands and just pull her along. But
how is that, by the way? I now a year married, and I think most people thought, it, that know you've thought, man, it's iffy if he'll ever do it again. But you fell in love with her, I mean, deeply.
I fell in love with her right away. And then it only took, you know, a couple years to convince her that I was crazy. but she's remarkable. She's a great person. So
I love that. I love that for you, man. Hey, tell me something.
Some differences. I mean, we're not built the same. She, you know, she's got women's parts and... And so do I, but we have different religions. But I've been going through a lot of medical processes. I've been working real hard on a new stand-up, but my last special, 0 to 60, was not worldwide. It had come out and on Amazon Prime and came out on, I was there an original, and it came out on a lot of services. And now it's worldwide, so that they just released it on Apple TV and, you know, Vimeo and literally everywhere you could find it on any of your services. But a lot of good worldwide stuff, because it wasn't a Netflix special. It was done the way that Jim Gaffigan does his. It
right.
was done through Comedy Dynamics.
Well, that's the way you do it now. That way you guys can, you know, there's
well,
no
you
point.
Can do it. The Netflix model is a good model, but it's also... they have a certain amount of people that they give a huge amount of money to, and then there's different tiers of it, you know, and there's unknowns on there, and so this really worked out for me, so I was pretty happy about it. But the special, I'm excited. I mean, I turned on Apple TV last night. It's like new recommendations, you know. Someone wrote to me because the special is about 2 years old, or almost, and someone on Instagram said something like, this is an old one, you know, why don't you do a new one? And I wrote back to the guy, because I don't usually answer people, or
right.
I do sometimes, or I'll give them a little heart or a little thumbs up, you know, because I'm always hitchhiking on the web. And a long time ago, this is old. And I said, you know, I'm working on a new one now. It'll probably be about a year from now. But, you know, old? What are you, four?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it's not that long ago.
No, of course not. Listen, I always want, this is where I want to be a part of your world. I just want to go, Bob, let me handle this. And just go to the guy's house and go, come outside for a minute. Let me explain something to you, where he's been and where he's going. Everything that he's done before you think about typing something back online again. And then I choke him a little bit. I give him a big hug. I kiss him on the cheek and I push him back in his house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how I treated my last child. then I put him in the river. Put him in the river, let the snakes take care of him.
That's right. Santa's
as their own.
Santa's at the bottom. Santa's down there.
I just never saw so many crawdads in all my life.
Crawdads.
It was a great deal of fun in Nashville Squares.
Have you eaten a crawdad?
I have.
It's just white trash shrimp.
Yeah. It's like a crawfish, right?
Yeah. It's just Whiskey Tango Trailer Park Shrimp.
Yeah, but a crawdad is it a four-legged thing or is it like a...
No. No.
It's like a crawfish?
Think redneck shrimp.
Okay. And you suck the heads on it?
Yeah, I don't. I'll eat crawdad meat, but I ain't sucking the head. I ain't going back.
I hear the brains are good. They're good for your brain. They make you smart.
Certainly worked out for the crawdad, didn't it?
Because it's a real smart animal, the crawdad. Yeah. It's like a single cell organism. I like to eat whatever part, you know, whatever you're deficient in. Like, if you're not that smart, you eat brains, you know.
Yeah.
You got a bad liver, you eat liver. You know, it just goes right to it.
Certain things I will not eat. I don't eat organs. If you go to England or Europe.
You don't eat organ meat?
I don't eat organs. let it be known, I don't eat organs. But I don't eat, I won't eat like kidneys. I'm like, you pee through those. Don't ever eat an animal's kidneys. Don't eat an animal's liver. That's their filter. You don't eat the filter.
That's what it is. And if the animal drinks and eats your liver, you could be eating tainted food. You know, if you got a drunk skunk, that's the worst because they'll fall down and spew that fume anywhere. I talk all different now, Johnny.
I have so many things I want to send you now for Nashville Squares, like hats and shirts, and like I'm just already running through my
You must have a whole wardrobe I could wear, but I'm just wearing, you know, just casual clothes. The fun part is it's people that I've known my whole career, like Bill Engvall, who's a comedian,
brilliant
for me, and then he became a star, and I couldn't follow him 40 years ago in Dallas. I mean, it was like he was always strong, you know, good comedians or Fortune Feimsters on it and Lonnie Love and Caroline Ray. That's a prerequisite.
Wonderful. Yep.
You got to have her on there.
Ron White?
I'm sorry?
You think Ron White will make it?
I don't know. That would be the next go round. He's perfect. He would be a gift. We tried to get him. He was on the road. He's such a good comedian.
He really is, man.
And Melissa Peterman, who is a real love, she was on Reba, but I knew her from another sitcom that I did. She's just, you know, just a lot of really good people, but a lot of country artists, too. I mean, it's, you know, there's a few legends in there, and then people that are like, you know, Janet Kramer and her husband Mike, and just different, you know.
Kyle Busch?
That's fascinating, because Kyle Busch is a race car driver, right?
Yeah, I'm not a fan,
famous guy, but...
Yeah.
Months before I did the show, I'm out at dinner one night. I meet this guy. I didn't know I was doing this show.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of said I was their only choice because they needed somebody that knew how to do it. And, you know, it was like, oh, yeah, we got to use him. And I said, what, Jeff Foxworthy's busy? What's going on? And they said, no, you know, we just know that you'll just riff with everybody and your stuff is fun.
Sure.
And I don't even curse. I mean, I think I got bleeped once, and that was just because I was bored.
Bless their heart. If you drop the F-bomb, immediately go, bless their heart.
They didn't, they don't have it. I didn't say it where it was in context, so it didn't need to be used on the show at all. But Kyle Busch, I was sitting next to him at dinner one night, and I knew who he was, and he said, I'm the biggest fan of yours, Bob, and we exchanged numbers, and I'm on the way to film Nashville Squares. I get a text, and he says, I'll see you today. And I went, who is this? And he went, Kyle Busch. And I'm like, what? And he says, yeah, I'm doing it because you're on it. That's why I'm doing it. And we rode around on little scooters, coolers.
That's hilarious.
Coolers. And he kind of should not have won. He kind of took off first. He cheated.
That's Kyle.
Yeah. And he's on the outside and I'm on the inside, so I'm trying not to get clipped by him. He knows what he's doing.
Yes. Yes.
He circled me like stage coaches around a helpless family. I'm a different man, Johnny. It's not Bob anymore.
That's why I love him.
So Nashville Squares. And I even do all the announcing. And here's your host, me. You know, it's just like...
Mr. Bob. Mr. Bob Saget. Robert Saget.
Robbie.
It was pretty fun to shoot. So they'll be running it on Fridays until they figure out what they're doing with it, which would be probably running them again and then making a decision if they want to make more. And that all depends on ratings and all that.
No, it'll be fun.
Well, good. It was fun to do, and I would do it again. But I think it should be an hour, a solid hour. But they probably want to keep it a half hour, simply because it's easier to you can move it around anywhere.
I think it'll be fun. I really do. I'm going to watch it. Nashville Squares Friday, 7 o'clock CMT. Then after dark, once that comes back in the winter spring,
and the months ahead. And I got a documentary on Martin Mull that I'm directing.
Excellent.
Yeah, he's a talented, hilarious guy. I do comedy songs because of him. People would know him, from Sabrina, the Teenage Witch, and Roseanne, and a bunch of shows he's done. And he's an amazing artist, and that's what it's about. We've interviewed Steve Martin and Norman Lear and Eric Idle from Monty Python and a lot of really talented David Alan Greer. You've had David on the show, right?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, he's such a good man. He is. And he owns a Martin Mull or two painting, and I bought one.
Is that right?
He is an amazing artist.
I did not know Mull paint.
Google it right now while I'm talking.
I'm doing it right this second.
Go Martin Mull paintings, and you will not believe what he paints. Some of it looks like photographs, but they're not. But things are out of focus.
Yes. He's kind of a... it's a bit surreal.
It's surreal, but it's the 50s. You know, it's all about what is a kinder, gentler time. But he's got like nine women lined up holding rifles in front of their homes. You know,
sure. No, it's almost like clip art. Like this. It's funny. The one thing he's got, the untitled 2011 one. It's a clown with a human body, but that's actually a bank clown. I own one of those old metal banks, and the clown hand feeds it pennies when its mouth flies open.
Yep. He's obsessed with stuff from the 50s, and that was his era. But he was the guy that was hanging out with everybody. He knew everybody. He played guitar with everybody. He wrote so many comedy songs, big influence of mine when I was 17, and they were original songs. And he went on tour as Martin Mull and his furniture, and he would take his furniture... a lamp, a sofa, an armchair, and a rug, and he would put it in a U-Haul and drag it across the country. And then he realized it's probably easier to go to Salvation Army and just pick up stuff in each town. But he was just hilarious at that.
Wait, do you have any hidden talents? I don't know, because you obviously you write and you sing and you can write songs, but am I going to find out one day that you're a sculptor, you're a painter, you juggle?
No, I juggle, but that's just when I'm sleeping and I don't realize it. I'm really just scratching. I can't. My wife can juggle three balls. I didn't know if you know that. I also have them.
I didn't know.
It's always good to have a spare.
Source of your power?
On the air?
Here we are. Hey, man, I hate it. I missed you this last time. I was telling you privately that my dear friend Jesse James Dupree, his mother passed that week and died. I'd flown down to...
I'm so sorry. And so. I would have done the show at the funeral if I'd have known. But it was a wonderful show. How was the funeral? Was it really sad?
Yeah, of course. It was a good celebration. She had a really wonderful life and a wonderful family, and she was just an amazing, amazing person, like your mom, you know, and it is terribly sad, but there's another part that, you know, they had such a good life and they're so loved and they were so well taken care of, like your mom, like, you know, Like, what's the? I always remember it. You look like an angel. Not yet.
I feel bad that happened. I'm sorry for your friend's loss, yeah. And you must have liked her.
I loved her. No, she was great. I'd literally fly into Atlanta and go see her if he was on the road and just go visit with her because she's such a wonderful lady.
And what'd you do? Tell us the truth.
We would just, well, sadly, there is a picture of me lying on her bed with her. We sent to Jesse one time, but it was all very
above. One of those beds with a remote control?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So were you in the will?
No, sadly, I'm not in the will.
And the only prerequisite was miss my show.
Dude, yes, that's right. She said, my dying wish is for you to not go to Bob's show in Kansas City.
On my day of departing.
I honored it. I had to.
Yeah. Well, I feel bad, but it is weird life. We're very feral creatures. We're nothing but a crawdad in the river. We're no different. We just sail down the river until it's our time.
That's it.
Come out the other end of the river.
Always, right?
Right into the viaduct.
Yeah. You
out by the swamp.
Are you going to do a play in New York? Are you going to be...
There was one that I was looking at, but I don't think I'm going to do it. But I don't know. I don't know when I'm going to... But if I get offered the right one, I definitely want to.
I loved seeing you.
I'm working on a bunch of stuff. It's a couple of shows that I'm working on producing, and there's a movie that... I'd love to announce, but the ink is not nearly dry enough, and it's hard to find a notary. So,
listen, you know, if there's ever a need for an actor with almost no range whatsoever, probably aging out of whatever project you're in, completely unknown, you know who to call.
Yeah, I'm Ghostbusters, but. Yeah. That would be a good play to do. They remade Ghostbusters.
It was terrible. Don't do it. Don't ruin your life.
No, I would not do that. This would be a directing gig.
Yeah.
And if I tell you, I hope I get to talk to you about it the next couple of months.
Good.
We're just dealing with MGM right now.
Oh.
Seeing if we can go ahead and make it.
Will you?
It'll be something that is right up your alley. Because I know you... live in the alley. You don't have a home.
No. I'm definitely an alley dweller.
I don't know why people say this is right up your alley. They're either bowlers or they think I'm homeless. I don't know.
Speaking of homeless, there's no chance you'll be in New York over Thanksgiving, is it?
No, I'll be in Chicago. I'll be with my wife and two of my daughters and one boyfriend. You know that you like your daughter's boyfriend if you're paying for the room that he's going to be in there with your daughter.
Yeah, you really like it.
There with some, I got a shotgun and buckshot. If I got to hit him in the butt with it, I will.
Listen,
are you allowed to take a rifle on the plane if it's just buckshot?
Nope, can't do it. Nope, that's definitely out.
What if you could assemble it once you get there?
You know, you can check it in your luggage.
You can check a firearm in your luggage?
You really can. It has to be unloaded. Yeah, you can't. It's just got to be in your, inside the cargo of the plane. It can't be in the cabin.
Wow. So, but they go through your stuff and see all that, I would think.
Yeah. No, you have to declare it, but it's got to be in a locked box, and then you can't actually get on a plane, or they'll put it on the plane underneath.
Whoa. I think that's kind of dangerous.
Hey, listen. You're on Nashville Squares now. No more talking like this. You love guns.
I go. Yeah. Right. Well. You know, every person on Nashville Squares has a right to defend their cube. There's 9 cubes. You know, it's tic-tac-toe. It's a very hard game. Fortune Feimster said, tic-tac-toe is hard. Everybody just kind of loses some chromosomes when they do the show.
I love that stuff. Because, I find all that to be wildly amusing to me. And I love the idea, knowing you, that you're a part of this, and I think that's why you're the perfect host, because watching, I think, the surprise on your face at certain moments is worth going to watching the show, period, not let alone the other stars that are on there, let alone the show's a good show. I think it's got every ingredient it takes to be good.
Well, it's entertainment. That's all we're doing. Game shows are, when I had a show, One versus 100 on NBC, we ran 2 seasons, and it was an hour show. It was on before Deal or No Deal, and then somebody declared that game shows were no longer popular. They're never coming back again. So they took off Millionaire, and they took off mine, and they took off Howie's show. But Howie's show's still on another network. I think, I don't remember the channel. I think Game Show Channel, but it might be another one.
It's,
and then all of a sudden now,
of course,
I'm end up on Match Game with Alec Baldwin because I like to play ball with ABC because that's my parent company. And then I'll be doing Tell the Truth with Anthony Anderson, but there's no onus on it. You know, you got movie stars doing these shows now. So.
Well, listen, it's entertainment. That's what it
is. It's not just, it's literally to get people's mind off of all the stuff that's going on.
That's right. And that's what we need. Comedy, we need to laugh, we need to be nice to each other, we need to enjoy television, music, whatever, concerts.
And we need to enjoy it and not be scared to be there.
That's right.
And people can have their opinions and not start arguing because they feel differently about things. It's a little bit too angry a culture right now.
Yes.
So I'm trying to do what I do, which is pretty silly. But I got some wonderful stories, you know, rats doing the triple Lindy into the pool, you know, things like that, things that everybody can relate to.
You need to get fancy boots.
Say what?
Fancy Boots down in Nashville. I just realized that what's the boot store down there? Boots, not Boots.
Right, the
there's Boot Star, and then there's another one. But they'll make you, like, you need, I may have to send
Rhinestone.
I may have to find, like, get your shoe size and have some made for you.
I wear a 12 shoe, and you know what they say about it, you know, the size of your feet, you know? It's just,
that's how you
it's
dance.
It's really true. I actually have to buy 3 boots.
What do you want on your boots? Do you want your own face on the front of the boot? It'll be under your pants, or you wouldn't want? What would you like down there?
No, I think who would I want on there? That's a good. That's a Kyle Busch. That's a good idea.
You can pull on his ears to get your boot on.
I gotta shake my booty. I don't know. I don't think I want my own face. I don't want to look down and see my own face.
I feel like a cat butt maybe on the front. I think there's a lot of choices to be made.
Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Bobcat, yes. Maybe something a little more country.
Have you ever seen the Mexican dancing boots? The giant with the giant they have.
Do they dance for you?
Oh, Bob, I will send you this. This is not a joke. This is something that is phenomena. And I've been to stores that sell these. Think regular cowboy boot except for the toe. Goes out another 2 feet and starts to curl up like a skinny elf shoe.
Wow.
It's, you were, you got to get a pair of these and walk onto the set.
Like someone from Aladdin or something. Are those kind of, they curl up like that?
Yeah, it's like a Mexican Aladdin.
Wow.
I'll send you pictures.
I've never wanted something less. I don't understand that. My underwear does that, but it's different. My underwear curls back. It's always pointing at me.
Oh, so good. All right, listen, I'm out. I'm going to get out of here. All right, I'm just trying to think of things. I feel like I want to send you a gift because I missed your show, and I miss you, and I hope to see you soon, man.
Don't feel bad. You got a snow globe with a rat in it? It's always winter for the rats. I've been having to catch them, and it's the worst feeling because you want them to live their life, but not in your house. You
sure,
know?
Right.
So it's in the attic, so I have to have a guy come out. And this guy came out in the middle of the night. The fires are working and blazing, and they hadn't really started in our neighborhood. We didn't, and I had to have a guy on a Sunday night. You can't get a rat guy. I didn't want to do it myself. I'm a little bit of a...
No, you don't.
Idiots about it because they carry disease. And
they're rats, man. No, you don't. You don't grab rats.
So I got a guy. He's like 22. He's stoned. He shows up at 9 at night, and he gets it. And he goes, it's a big one. It's what I see. It's all puffy. And I'm like, no, you go take that home.
It's all yours.
He goes, no, I'm going to throw it in your trash can. No, please don't. No, I'll put it right there. And he talked Southern, like Nashville Squares, too. And then next thing you know, I got more of them because I think it laid babies. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah, they eat their young, and I did that too. I'm missing 2 kids.
I woke up one night, this is true, and I heard a noise. And I kept, for about 3 nights, I kept hearing a noise above me, and I was sleeping, and I finally walk into my walk-in closet, and I turn the light on. It's about 2 in the morning. I hear this noise, and I'm like, and I look up just in time to see a paw come through the sheetrock. This goddamn squirrel had eaten, was trying to eat through, and then stuck his little hand right through it, and that scared me so bad. If I'd had a gun, I'd have shot my own house up. I had to hire a guy to trap them. They got through the siding on my house, and they were in between floors.
Yeah, that's the worst. Is I've had, because of my rat problem, I had drywall. They had to dig it all out. And, you know, it's upsetting, and it doesn't smell good. Squirrels don't smell that bad, but rats. Well, when you trap them, it's, you know, it's just a whole thing. I'm not Elmer Fudd. I don't want to be hunting in the house. Kill me a rat, you know.
Be very quiet.
We're getting them one by one, you know.
Oh.
The fires, they got nowhere to go. They want safety, and they're going to go to Bob's house. So, and I'm doing work on the home, so I got a port authority in front of it. That's always a good statement.
Yummy.
You know, people really respect that.
Yep, the big blue love closet. We refer to those at concerts as the portable love pod.
Oh, you sent me a picture of those blue. Yeah. That is the stupidest thing I ever saw.
Yeah, it's real.
That is the dumbest thing. You know what's good about that, though? If your friend's got an itchy butt, you can get it for him.
That is a
You fact. Can hitchhike right up that highway. Those are ridiculous.
Those some rat-killing boots is what they are.
That they really are. You kill an elephant with that. What is the deal with that? Is that actually a popular item?
It's a phenomena, and I'm gonna have to. I'll find the reason. It's a long, pointy Mexican boots. It's I don't know the origin other than they come from Mexico, and it was it's a big deal. They're called just Mexican pointy boots.
They dance in them a lot.
Yeah, it's a big dancing thing.
Yeah, that's a great thing.
Yeah. It's. Like
you got
said.
Any brows like that?
They're, no, just called Mexican pointy boots, as I'm reading about. Made with elongated toes that are popular footwear for men in parts of Mexico, as per Wikipedia.
And where in Mexico are they from?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, we got to find this out. We got to go there. I want to go to the factory.
the pointy Mexican boot factory?
The scary part is that someone's got, like, one toe that's like a curly fry toe, you know, just keeps going. It's got that nail. Looks like Howard Hughes' hands. I'm scared of everything now.
Let's shoot a TV show. We go find out where these things are made and why.
That's a great idea. Let's look for these Mexican dancing boots. I know the music you would dance to, and I know that, you know, Mexican jumping beans, by the way.
Yes.
That I used to, as a kid, like them.
Me too.
And it just turns out there's an animal in them.
It's a larva.
Yeah, and I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And that is not good. I don't know why that became a toy for kids. they have one at the airport coming out of Mexico. They have, I was down there, they had Viagra. They had Mexican Viagra.
That's a Mexican jumping bean.
Well, that's what happened to me. I took it, and it made it jump around. it was really bad. And it was doing, it was conducting an orchestra. It was just, I've never seen nothing like it. So I hope I didn't have no larva in there. You don't want larva in your
Viagra. No.
I'm not a Viagra guy. I mean, that's what love is, you know, when you go, I don't need assistance on this.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I don't bring in the scaffolding like I used to, and, you know, little person with a little Willy Wonka wig on.
Nothing weird? You're not breaking out the machinery or the
No, there's no crane. There's no like, mouse trap. Where
rubber sheets?
Like, set everything up.
55-gallon drum of lube, nothing?
Well, that's the thing we grabbed. She's going, when the house is on fire or nearby, she's like, you know, get the passports. I'm getting, get the lube. You know, I didn't care. I didn't realize that'd probably be the first thing that would go up. Like oil in a genie's lamp.
Yeah.
You rub that, and then the genie comes out. I don't think so. I didn't see that last Aladdin with Will Smith. Did you see that?
No. I didn't see the first one because, well, I'm an adult and I don't have kids, so it's pretty weird. I can't go to a theater. How weird is that going to look?
Right. When that movie came out, my kids were younger, and my friend from Full House, and now Fuller House, Scott Wanger, he was the voice of Aladdin. But he said, but I didn't do the singing part. And I said, then you weren't Aladdin. we're shooting next week the very last episode of Fuller House.
Congratulations.
And that'll be coming on end of this year, and then the second 9 episodes will come on the beginning of the new year. And it's a sweet show, you know, and it's had its 5-year run. So it's a little bittersweet. We got
5 years.
The girls are good on it, did really well with Netflix, and made people cry. And that's, you know, a lot of people look to it for solace. So
hey, man, you put a lot of heart into this world, Bob. All kidding aside, the original Full House, Fuller House, and, you know, allow me this. You went by that too fast. You threw out a 5-year run for a TV show like it's an easy thing to do. What you guys did is nigh to impossible. You were the most popular show on Netflix.
Old series, which never went off the air, and now it's on Hulu. And then, which, it's so crazy. You know, we were talking years ago that we didn't have streaming television, and it's all going to be so different. One day it'll be just like a Mexican jumping bean. You'll project it right onto your wall. Right out of that little Mexican jumping bean. I mean, things are going to change. I can feel it. It's a Beck song, I believe. But, which you will not be hearing on Nashville Squares. We got a good band on that show, by the way. A really good band.
Good.
I can't remember the band leader's name, David, but that's all I remember. They kept saying, Bob, you want a drink? I said, no, I got to do a show, man. I'm really sorry. It's like when your pilot's about to take you to Cleveland. So, let's have a drink together before you take off, bro.
You, I'm back on your songwriting. Something just triggered into my head. You got to write an Elmer Fudd Rat song.
Yeah, that's a Jamie Kennedy Stu Stone song. And people have been talking that I should have my own other song that I write, theme song. But I've been doing a podcast, too, because I don't do enough, but it'll be one of those personal ones like Bill Burr.
Good.
Who's one of my favorites.
Brilliant. And, Bill Burr is like you, I think, one of the true greats, like really great.
He is really great. He is a dear friend, and I only say that because he's great. And no, but the truth is, he really is a great guy. At my wedding, he and his wife came to the wedding. He had a gig to do. He leaves the wedding, does the gig, and comes back to my wedding. He's just one of these special guys, and pretty brilliant.
Yeah, last time he was on the show, he made me laugh the hardest unintentionally because they were announcing a Bill Burr show here in Kansas City, and I said Sprint Arena, and there's a long pause, and Bill Burr and all of us, he goes, the Sprint Arena? What the... was my agent thinking, and I hit the dumb button, and he was genuinely like, what the goddamn are you telling me right now? He didn't know. They tried to book him into an arena. But so
he wanted to have a smaller theater.
Yes, a little smaller.
He does he did Royal Albert Hall in London, and that's, you know, pretty damn big. That's like 10,000, I think.
Yeah, which is huge, and certainly he has the talent, but it made me laugh. He was shocked and then got sideways about it. You could tell the second we got off the phone, that agent got a call. Let's see, that lizard came sliding down the hill.
So the venue changed quickly.
Yes, it did, yes.
Well, he is just, he comes up with some amazing stuff, and he gets in trouble. You know, he like dives off into an empty swimming pool with a piece of material, and you don't know where he's going. Dave Chappelle did that with his last special, which
thought it was great.
Yeah, he just would say stuff, and it's how he feels. I agreed with most of what he said, but some people did not. But it was done. It's still a comedian.
Is it funny?
Exactly, and he's saying, you know, stuff that's irreverent, and we're not supposed to, you know. And I'm in a world where, you know, people go, oh, he's dirty. You know,
you're not like, dirty.
I'm not dirty. We've talked about this for years. It's silly dirty. It's there's so many people that are so much dirtier, which is...
Well, you're not hateful dirty or angry dirty.
No, I'm just talking about my wiener. What else is there?
Booger, booger, fart, fart, wiener. I built an entire radio show on that.
Because this kid I knew, Richard Sweeney, in elementary school in Norfolk, Virginia, he used to be munching on them during class, and I didn't like it. And I said, why are you doing it? And he said, it tastes like butter. I went, you know what? I don't want to know you. I wonder what he's doing today. He probably opened up like a Waffle House or something. But, you know, people are, they got
booger eaters.
What they love.
There's booger eaters everywhere you go.
Yeah, everywhere you look, there's a booger to hold on to.
Yep.
Yes. That's the Fuller House. That's the Full House theme song. I don't even know anymore. Talked to Stamos a long time yesterday. He's my husband. And
How's that relationship going?
It's going pretty good. Pretty good. You know, he's got a son. He don't know it's mine. And, you know, when I visit somebody's house, I visit, you know.
Sure. You got to leave your mark.
He's a really good man. He's just a real good man.
And Mr. Coulier?
Oh, we love the Coulier. Yes. He was directed some of the Fuller Houses, and he flies his plane into town, and he'll be there next week for our final episode. It's going to be a lot of tears, a lot. So
yeah.
I hope it's so many that it builds a river and a bunch of snakes come flying through the set.
Brings the rats.
Brings the rats, the crawdads, Mexican jumping bean shoes. You know, I just want to have every critter out there. You know, it's so funny, but it really, you know, John Oliver's the political stuff is it's everywhere. You know, no matter where you go, you got it. But his show, he and I have a similar sense of humor, and he finds critters to be like the funniest things in the world. So he'll be in the middle of something not political, more like a comedy Vice type show.
Mm-hmm.
We'll inform people of the injustices. Can you believe this is how this canned goods factory works? And you know, it's approved by the FDA or whatever,
right.
And you're going like, what? You know, you can't believe what he's telling you about. But he always brings up a possum or a ferret or a squirrel or, you know, and always has pictures of him doing something wrong. But he's always, we have a very similar sense of humor that way. I love the innocence of these animals that are just trying to survive.
Sure.
I got coyotes in my neighborhood. That ain't fun.
You got to watch those because they really will snatch your dog.
They will snatch each other, too. One of them is missing a leg.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you look behind, and the other coyote's got its mouth, and it's got the long bone. And that ain't what you want. You don't want friends biting your legs off.
No. I went downstairs the other day, a few months ago, Bob, and my little dog, Lulu, who's about 20 pounds, little mixed terrier, and I. There's a scuffle. It's dark. I'm leaving for work, and the trash cans are rattling, and I look over, and she's riding this goddamn raccoon across the driveway. The raccoon was in the can. When it popped out, she was like, oh, no, you don't, jumped on the back and rode it all the way across the driveway. I'm screaming, Lord, I got a goddamn raccoon. She comes back, like, super sheepish, like, I'm sorry. I just wanted to ride the dirty trash panda for a while.
Oh, my God, you rode it?
Yeah. Swear to God, had it by the neck on its back and was clinging to it as that fat little bastard was just trying to waddle off back into the woods.
They are dangerous little creatures, actually. And they, you know, they carry the little diseases, but they got little hands that are like...
Sure.
You know, it's kind of hot. They look kind of real. They look like human hands. It doesn't make you think that you want to go cross species, but they look pretty... They're attractive.
But that little bandit thing around their eyes is sexy.
That's hot, too.
Yeah.
But we were... so you're not calling 911, are you?
And you know, I got
911 anywhere. You could do it for any city. You could say, Bob's in trouble. I sent him a picture of Pointy Boots on his phone, and now he's talking about how attractive raccoons are. But I had a problem with them, and I had them... in cages, which is, you know, the trapper would catch them and then release them somewhere else. What they don't tell you is they want to keep the business going, so they release it in front of your house. So
yeah, I've suspected that for a while now.
Yeah, it's a cycle of life. But it's scary. I had a gopher problem once, and they smoke out the gopher. They put it in the hole, and then
I've seen
it out the other side, and they trap it. That's how they try to get it. And I looked it up. I didn't know who to get it. I told a story once on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Pugilistic Johnny Carson was on television. And it was really weird. I looked it up in the phone book. We had phone books. Pugilistic phone books were a thing of the past where you would get phone numbers. And then it said, Walter the Gopher Man. And I called the number, and the doorbell rings like 6 hours later. And there's a man standing there. It was Walter. And I did this joke to Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show, because that's when it happened. I did an impression of Walter the Gopher Man. He went, I kill my own kind. He's part man, part gopher. And that was the idea. He was a crossbreed done in a lab of some kind or just out in the woods. Man, half gopher. I mean, that's a scary thing. You don't want to have dinner with him. I mean, he eats with his hands. He's covered in fur. You know, that's the hardest jobs, by the way, like the skunk trappers and stuff. I mean, they go home. It takes forever for them to get the smell off. They tell you all different ways, but there aren't any good ways to get the smell of skunk,
no.
Or rats, or exterminators. We need them. We need them. And
coyotes, you know, wearing Mexican boots.
That's a great way to get a skunk. Right when it's about to hit you with its odor out of its odor hole, whatever it is. That pointy thing in there. Only problem is you walk around with two skunks on your shoes. Nobody wants to date you. You can't really dance. They fly off your feet. And that was skunk. What they got a hole where that smell comes out of. It's got to be separate.
Let me tell you where it is. I have firsthand experience at the land. You know, I've got that 30 acres lovingly known as Disgrace Land. And when I first bought it, it came with a front loader, like one of those big, it looks sort of like a bulldozer, Bob, but it's not as squatty. And so I'm moving a wood pile with this big machine I've never run before. You got to climb up in it. It's a big construction machine. And I see a skunk run off, and I'm like, oh, I got to stop. So I back up with this big bucket, and I climb down over the big tire, and I look down, and what I've done is accidentally there was a skunk family inside that wood pile, and the mom got away, but there were kits in there, young ones. And so now I'm freaking out because they're not dead, and they're not really hurt, but they can't get out. So I watch the mom skunk run across the field, and I got a buddy with me, and I get some gloves, and I go, tell me if she comes back. I get a shovel, and I start pulling the debris away, and one little one comes out, another little one comes out, another little one comes out, and they all bolt, and then there's one that's really stuck, and it's struggling, and I'm like, okay. I go, dude, just tell me if she comes back. So now I've just got these heavy leather gloves on, and I'm pulling a piece of wood, and I'm digging it away, and this little bitty skunk kit turns around, lifts its tail up, and it wanted to. It wasn't old enough to squirt, but you could see his little pink odor hole. He was like, like he was so mad. And I laughed until I cried at that guy's just staring at his tiny little skunk butthole.
Well, is it a separate butthole?
No, nope, it comes right out of their gland in their anus.
Same thing.
Then. Either that, or he was trying to poop on me. I don't know. It was, but he,
so
but his,
they could
his,
poop out of the same place where that smell comes.
I believe they do, but his ass. I promise you, he was mad. He was.
I had to poop once like that. Yeah. We had to leave the house for a month.
Oh, speaking
that's
of
probably that, is not something you want to hear while you're eating your breakfast.
Do you? You everybody keep the door shut. Keep the dream alive. Nobody walks in on anybody in your house.
No, and it's nice. I mean, it's just my wife and me. So that's my kids are all grown up. And when they come and visit, I close the door when I got to let one go.
Yeah.
You know, but that's, you know, I don't do it much anymore. I eat pretty healthy, which is good. I eat pretty much just straight meat. This is all meat every day. Because corn's my meat.
Corn is, that's what I was going to say.
But I do try to eat healthier when I can. And you know, I got to live a long time. I got three kids and a wife and a portable port-a-torty in front of my house because people working on my house, they got to do their business. And that's what I get scared of is that there'll be an earthquake and that thing will fall over like an episode of Jackass. And next thing you know, I got a real problem because I don't need fertilizer.
Oh, those things are horrendous. They are horrendous. We, you know, used to do those big rock concerts here. 50,000 people, rock fest, and
that, by the way, is one of the most, that is like the best business you could be in.
Yes.
That Andy Gump business. I can't believe that's the name of the guy. I mean, it says like on another Andy Gump, you know, like miracle. You know, it's like he's praising it.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, Gump and Dump are very close. You know, so.
It was a tough childhood.
That's true. His name should have been Fit. Andy Fit. You know, because you fit on it when you have to do your business.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. That is a weird business. And it's dangerous. It's chemicals. And I rented a mobile home once, and
rent a mobile home?
I did it because I wanted to take my kids on a vacation to Death Valley.
So you rented an RV?
I rented, I didn't rent a mobile home.
It's like, what?
I rented a house and I put it on a flatbed truck and took up three lanes. Wide load. No, I rented an RV, but it was the kind that you push a button and it makes the landing gear come out. And it also makes the wall move. And
yeah, those are good.
Bigger, those are nice. And it was a brand new one. And we went to Death Valley and we took a while to get there. And I had all the toys in it and microwave pizzas, which are not something people should have invented, you know. And it took a while. We finally get there. And I wouldn't park in the trailer parks because I didn't want to be, like, around a lot of people.
Right.
And one night, we learned the wrong way. We stayed at trailer park. And I wanted to watch TV, so I had to turn on my generator. And all the neighbors were, like, mad at me. I was, like, the bad guy. So I said, kids are getting out of here. Daddy wants to watch TV. So we left. So it's midnight. We're in Death Valley. And we're going to, like, places like, I think it was Zabriskie Point, you know, the famous, there was a movie called that years ago. And we would go to the places that were like sugar mill, like famous tourist places.
Right.
We would go to their parking lots. And I was the only, there's no one there. I mean, I could have been, I didn't know how stupid this was, but I did with three children. And I'm a single dad at that time. And I still am. I mean, I have an ex-wife who's very kind. But I didn't bring her on the trip, and because we were divorced, didn't seem like a good idea. And, hey, let's get in the trailer and watch Mom and Dad fight some more. So we ended up parking in these places, and then by 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, all the tourists show up, and I just open my door, and I'm in a robe, and I'm cooking turkey bacon on the stove. And I just look like a hillbilly out of place.
That's great.
Like a National Lampoon Vacation moment. Oh. And then I tried to go to a restaurant in one of the places because I couldn't eat any more of the food I'd brought. It was pretty bad. This is a brand new trailer, too. It was just, we were the first people to use it. And they wouldn't let me go into the restaurant because I had jeans on. They made me wear pants. And then they had slacks. And it was really not a nice restaurant. But they were being just kind of jerks to the city folk. And I had to wear the chef's pants. They gave me his
come
pants.
On, come on.
And they were a foot shorter and a foot wider. So it looked like a joke. And I had to have a drawstring belt. They just made fun of me.
In come on.
Sneaky chef's pants. And we ate. We got back in the trailer. And we went to some tourist trap waiting for the people in the morning. It was a pretty crazy trip. We returned the trailer. And we used all the water in it, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
My daughters took long showers because they're my daughters.
Right.
And then we also used all the propane, so there was no more fire. And you're supposed to stop and have
the crapper emptied.
Yeah, you got to empty that.
Yeah.
So that you pay somebody to hook a tube up and they remove it.
Right.
Well, I never did that. So I returned the vehicle. It was basically a Band-Aid box on wheels full of poo. That's
yes.
what I did.
Yeah.
But I assume it was okay afterward, but it was just empty. I just returned a shell.
Oh.
And it took 9 hours to get home because it was pouring rain. And the girls said, let's watch Titanic again. So I'm watching Titanic. It's a long time ago. It was a disaster, but it was quite funny. I mean, it's one of those stories that I go, can you believe how nuts Dad was?
I think it's great. Because that's what family is. My dad, he once drove us from Kansas City to Tennessee to visit my grandma, but he kept telling me we're going to go to the site of a great battle, Shenandoah. And we got there, and it's a field. That's all. A field. And there's no cannonballs or corpses. There's no skeletons or cannons. Right. There's nothing. And he's like, this was where I go, this. I'm like nine. I'm thinking, why are you a dick, Dad? Like, you just drove me. You filled my head. He's like, imagine it. I go, I could have imagined this from my house when my bicycle is. What are we
doing? Show me a field at home. Could have given me some chloroform. I could have waked up. You tell me you were in Shenandoah.
Absolutely. My old man could beat you while driving with his left hand. He could reach to the third seat in that station wagon and whip your ass.
That's a good man.
Yep.
That's good if you got arms like Inspector Gadget, if you love to beat your kids from far away. Got a big old station wagon, you just give your kid a little smack on the butt from a good 15 paces.
Oh, he was amazing. God forbid you, if he had to pull that car over, like then it was really on.
Well, if he was wearing those Mexican cowboy boots, he'd have jumping bean cowboy boots. You can't drive a car like that. You can't wear them to drive a car because you got to pull your foot up and you get it stuck in the transmission.
Yeah, it's no good. No good. And they're terrible for riding motorcycles.
Yeah, that's that. You can't. Yeah, that's not a good. Or a bike. I mean, you don't want to do. I don't think there's too much you can do with them except dance. You can just get drunk. That's all you can do with them.
Your Mexican ski dance.
Yeah, but who would find that attractive? That's the question.
Well, somebody. Here's the thing. You know there are girls that find it attractive because there's no reason in the world why the guy is wearing it other than at some point some guy got laid from his boots.
That could be the truth.
Has to be.
Well, the shape of those boots, you could bring in a third party. You're just naked with your boots on. You know, if you die with your boots on, the old saying, mm-hmm. You don't want it to be those boots. You just don't.
No.
There is no coffin that has enough of a reservoir lid. That'd be like Pinocchio being on Viagra. You know, you would need the whole top would have to be. How do you want to go out? Do you want to be buried or cremated or shot out at sea out of a cannon?
I have many theories on this. Part of me wants to save up enough money that they close the door and at the visitation, and a guy walks out and he goes, I have a prepared statement. And I start paying my friends to do terrible things to each other. Johnny says there's $5,000 for the first one that hits the other guy in the head with this giant fish. And like this, like, you know, another one, like just doing terrible stuff, picking each other up and body slamming them over the coffin. Just seeing how far you could truly push all your friends to do terrible stuff.
That's a fun party.
Yeah, or my other thought was load me full of explosives and then only my friends in the first two rows will know to hold up the plastic when I go.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. So it's like a Gallagher death.
Right.
That's good if you detonate the body
in
front of everybody, all the grieving people.
Yes. Did you see the guy who in Ireland who left, he instructed his buddy, he pre-recorded an entire 10-minute message of him pretending he's in the box. He's obviously dead. Like, let me out. Let me out. You bastards. And literally, you can see somebody's taping all their faces as they realize what they're hearing. And the shock within seconds turns to the greatest laughter you've ever heard.
That's very funny. But he was in there?
Yeah. The body was.
He was in there with the recording, right?
Yeah. Yes. He was quite dead.
And he
had
gone to, he had met his maker.
He had. Yes.
Wow.
I thought that's a great way to go.
I guess I'll run one of my specials in there.
I think that would be fantastic, man.
Might even keep me alive because I'll go, I can't hear that joke again. I'll just wake up.
How do you want to go?
I want to go peacefully, and then I want to be shot. I think I wrote this on, it's not on one of my bios on one of my viral sites. I want to be shot on a catapult.
I think that's a great idea. Trebuchet.
Take my body, put it on a catapult, and just shoot it. You can do it off a cliff into the ocean. It's a fun thing to do. There aren't a lot of catapults, and I just think it's smart. I think.
My other thought was get cremated.
I don't want to be cremated.
I thought maybe I'll get it done. And then I would leave a list of people I didn't like, and I would have a dear friend walk over and go, hey, Johnny left you something. Close your eyes and open your mouth. And then immediately just throw my ashes inside my enemy's mouth and just walk off.
I like that.
Yeah.
Just, I think there should be some kind of communion. And you just pass me around to everybody. You know, get a spoonful.
Like,
no, I wouldn't want to be cremated. I just think that's... I don't know, but I understand people not wanting to have their body it's a morbid topic.
But see, I don't even care. Like, when I'm dead, I don't care. I really don't, Bob. I mean, I feel like when you're gone, you're gone. Like, it just doesn't matter to me. You put me in a trash bag and throw me on the street.
Well, I got not far from here is my mom and dad and my sister are in a cemetery, and cemetery keeps calling me saying we got a discount on a plot right next to your parents and your sister.
Oh, they're trying to sell you ahead of time.
Yeah, and you get a discount. It's like, well, what do I care if it's more money after I'm gone?
That's right.
It's not like Bed Bath & Beyond, you know? It's like, these are good till you're dead.
you need a giant monument, like a huge monument, an absurd monument.
That's the other thing is people get buried and they got the Washington Monument on top of their grave.
Yes.
You spend all this money. I think if you're a well-endowed guy, mm-hmm. you don't even need a marker. You just let that stick out of the ground. Billy Thomas, he would kick it. Maybe, you know, when they're doing a lot of the landscape and somebody will think it's a rain bird. You know, I don't want that.
The eternal flame.
One of those animals gets out there over there. Little raccoon hands and start playing with it and stuff. And you know, a marker, next thing you know, I bet that would bring me back to life.
So,
but it doesn't even make sense because that would mean you got buried without a coffin, and that ain't good. Or a coffin with a trap door just in case you were,
Right. You used to have the bell you could ring. Hey, do you know Craig? So here's a serious thing. So Craig Glazier, of course, has passed away last year. Owen Stanford's Comedy Club. You remember them? They left you alone after you cut your hand so bad at the hospital, just standing there. Never came back.
That was so lovely.
Yeah,
that was just lovely.
But he did die. He was suing me when he died, and which was all silly. It was just he needed money. But the sad news is, I found out I didn't know this. He doesn't have a marker at all. Like there was no money. He died. It was pretty sparsely attended. And I found out the other day, and I literally feel so bad for him, even though he was suing me and owed me money. I'm thinking about just buying him a tombstone. But then I realized I could write whatever I want on it, which is funny. And we're going to probably have to work on
that. Some tombstones should be a dry erase board so people can come by and think of nasty things they did to him. Here lies a blank, blank, blank.
Mm-hmm.
He never gave me money. I loaned him, stuff like that.
I swear to God, I'm going to have it chiseled in the stone. You still owe me 15 grand.
Right. Where's my chainsaw?
But I think I am.
To you on a Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the whole point is to enjoy life while we're here, isn't it?
Yes. Absolutely. Time, man. People think, and this is a whole other subject, but people think that materials and houses and cars, those are all great things. Memories, man. Time. Time is the most precious thing you have. It's running out of every second of every day. Purpose and time.
Well, I have time with my wife. I have time with my kids. It's a snapshot without taking one of just appreciation, That's the good stuff.
No, I feel the same. Look, it's funny. I said time and I automatically looked at the clock. We're actually done with the show. We've been telling the show for a few minutes. We just talked for an hour and a half, Bob.
We did?
Yeah.
Wow. And it's earlier here where I am. I'm in Guam.
Guam.
Because there's a lot of good critters out there.
Yeah, going to do a little scuba diving? You big scuba diver?
I've done it once, and I stayed under for a while, and all I kept thinking was they tell you what to do if you get sick, that you...
Throw up through the
regulator, and I'm like, I'll just do it once. Thanks a lot. I like snorkeling.
I've thrown up through a regulator before.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I didn't want to do that.
I've done it. You can do it. That's true.
Yeah, I think I would take it out, and then I would end up drowning.
But the fish love you.
They what kind of fish is that? Then you go and catch it, hey, look how fat this bass is. Yeah, because he just ate my hurl.
That's
that
right.
That fish just ate like 1,900 chicken wings. This is Johnny Walker. Well, I love talking to you. I'm sorry we went over.
Oh, it's great. I love you.
You're a dear friend. And when Videos After Dark comes on, I'll give you a holler, and then I'll have other stuff, because you know me. I just keep... I'm working harder now than I ever have. It's
good.
Crazy.
Good. I think it's everything you love, you know? You're doing it because you love doing it, and that's the most fun to watch.
Well, making people laugh and entertaining, which a lot of comedians are not entertaining the audience. They're out there pontificating, and they have a right, and I like it. Some of them I'm a huge fan of. But I'm just out to be silly, and yet I have some more poignant stuff in my work that I used to have. So I think you'll enjoy my stand-up. I'm still touring, coming up with a lot of new stuff, and I'll be touring all through next year. So by maybe the fall of next year, I'll be ready to shoot my new special.
Good.
So I plan to shoot it right in the swamp, but there's a lot of snakes and crawdads.
down on there, that's right. Coyotes with Mexican pointy boots, all kinds of things.
Heck yeah, like a little piece of wood, sandalwood with a rat just sunbathing on it, sliding down the river with his legs crossed, just going, you know, I got all the best food out of your traps, Bob. Sorry. Yeah. I hate when they get the food, they get the bait, but they get away with it. They know how stuff works. They're smart.
What was the, what was that entire movie about rats? Willard.
And there was a sequel called Ben, and Michael
right.
Jackson sang the theme to it. So
right.
it was a double curse.
That's right. Now you're going to be in a Broadway production of Willard.
Oh, my God. You know, that movie it starred Bruce Davison. No one should watch it. He loved rats. They're all his friends. And they're just not fun animals because they carry such disease and stuff.
The plague. The fleas. The plague. It's what destroyed Europe.
Yeah, yeah. And one day they'll inherit the earth, and what a treat.
And you know what? Look, they killed Ernest Borgnine eventually.
Yeah, that beside adventure, he dies in that too, doesn't he?
He's a terrible swimmer, to be honest.
Yeah, we brought up a lot of stuff that a lot of the audience just doesn't know these references. But that's what happens when you get older, when they get older, when the millennials and Gen X are older people, they'll be bringing up references, and people will say, why'd you talk about it? But talking about critters, that's kind of universal. So, you know, a sand crab's always fun. I had one because I was on the beach, and I got it from this girl that was laying next to me. I pulled the umbrella out of her, and everything was fine. You can't say stuff like that. You can't talk about that anymore. I'm really running out of stuff to be able to talk about.
I love you.
I love you, too. You stay well, because you got to let somebody else on the radio. What are they going to do, play a bunch of music now?
Yeah, they are.
What's their first thing they got loaded up?
What do we got? What's Moose's first track is going to be Good Band, Volbeat, or the Foo Fighters, either one. So it'll either be A Warrior's Call by Volbeat or Learn to Fly by Foo Fighters.
I love the video for Learn to Fly. Boy, was that a good one, wasn't it?
Foo it is, then. That's what I'm going to make sure we play.
That's a great thing.
Yeah, you're a good man. Hey,
so
I'm going to make sure we
win.
I love you.
Thank you, everybody that's been in the room with him. I wish I could see you guys. And if you saw me, you'd think I just look amazing in the morning. I wear my Obi-Wan Kenobi hood and I'm holding the lightsaber laying in bed. Nothing like that. And I got the new bed where you got the remote control and it folds up and stuff. So my wife and I have two different ways to sleep. I could curl up like a little baby Jesus, and she just lays there, and she's like a crawdad with pillows all around her. Light a candle right in the middle.
So nice.
She don't listen to me snore or nothing. She plugs up everything. She wears earplugs all day long. Is that an insult?
You guys, would you say it's more morning relations or evening relations?
Well, we bring relatives over any time of day. I love morning relations. My aunt's coming over and my cousins. You know, it depends. It really does. If we're on vacation, you know, top of the morning to you, I
turn
to a leprechaun. You know, I got my shillelagh.
Yeah.
And, it's a pot of gold for her. And then then nighttime. I nighttime's the right time for me, but not for her. She gets tired, and she's one of these people that turns the switch off. She goes, "Good night, gone to bed."
Yeah,
love you, honey. And then I'm like, "Yeah, but I'm awake. I'm Bob. I'm a comic. You know, I can't go to bed." And she don't care. She just wraps herself in bubble wrap and does all kind of little procedures at the end. So.
Yeah, it could go either way with me. Sometimes I think I'll go to sleep now and then attack at dawn.
You know what's fun is in the beginning of the relationship, which I want to bring back, is in the beginning she was like, any time of night, if you're in need, mm-hmm. wake me.
Yep.
I said, well, I don't have to wake you. You know, I don't want to bother you. I'm just going to do some stuff. Water the crops.
Just going to do some stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to do some things. You'll know. You'll feel a little different in the morning.
What are you doing? Just doing stuff. Go back to sleep.
But she's got earplugs everywhere. That's why she's got them. Well, I'll let you go. You have a wonderful day.
You too.
And I will talk to you probably sooner than later.
Yes, sir. All right. You are the great Bob Saget. I do love you.
I love you a lot. I'll talk to you soon, my
friend. Just stay right there. Hold on, Bob. I love that guy. I mean,
I do too.
Isn't it delightfully weird to think that's Bob Saget we all grew up with, that we all loved, and like from America's Funniest Home Videos, from Full House, from Half Baked, from all the movies, everything we've seen him in. And then you think, in your wildest dreams, you go, "Will you ever be friends like that? That you could just talk about nothing and everything for an hour?"
No.
It's a pretty weird world. I mean, I couldn't enjoy it more. To me, that's better than money. It's better than cars. It's better than homes. It's better than boats. It really is. Like, it's, to me, it's everything. It is. As you get older and stuff fades away, that's all you got, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it. Memories.
It is.
If you could remember anything.
Oh, I'm going to remember this.
Mm.
It's the day I almost peed myself.
Nick, walk out if you got to take a leak, for God's sakes.
You got to be polite.
Uh-uh. She's seen me do it, man. She'll be in the middle of the news, and I'll be like, I got to go.
I'd walk out of that.
I'm like, I'm getting ready to make a stink pickle.
I knew
pickle.
She had to pee because she looks like one of my kids. Like, oh, no. She's like doing this
all right, like, I'm going like, get out of here.
This is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
The Johnny Dare.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.